Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Christ is risen, indeed he is truly risen. Welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seeker, your host for the program, so happy and blessed to be here with you today in this glorious season of Easter. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, we ended the most recent 40 Days for Life campaign on Palm Sunday, March 28th. And so I wanted to have Deacon Russ Woodard, the coordinator for our local campaign here in Bloomington, on the show with me to discuss the effects of this Lenten prayer and fasting crusade. Over 500 unborn children that we know of were confirmed to have been spared from the violence of abortion from February 17th through March 28th because of the efforts of thousands of participants throughout the world. This is just one of the many fruits from this past campaign, and Deacon Russ is going to tell us more in just a few moments. But first things first, let's begin in prayer, invoking the patron of this program. St. Maximilian Kolbe, patron of the pro-life movement, hear this prayer of supplication that we address to you with confidence. St. Maximilian, we honor your life that was guided by the unshakable faith in the mystery of the Incarnation. We admire your public witness for the sanctity of life and your ultimate sacrifice for the life of another when you offered yourself to save a fellow prisoner. We pray, please move the consciences of those contemplating abortion. Please move to repentance and healing the women and men who have chosen abortion over the gift of life. Please intercede for all unborn children. Pray that their mothers will see, hear, and know that what they carry in their womb is a person, a special and unique gift from God our Creator. Please comfort the women who suffer from post-abortion trauma and inspire them to seek spiritual and psychological help. Please sustain the courage and wisdom of the pro-life movement so that they may be peaceful witnesses to the sanctity of life. Please move the hearts of our lawmakers, judges, and fellow citizens so the scourge of abortion will no longer be the law of the land. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. President Biden's Department of Health and Human Services announced its reversal of a Trump administration ban on using taxpayer dollars to conduct internal federal research using aborted fetal parts. The announcement came last Friday, April 16th, when it was also reported that the strict ethical review of college recipient grants for funding such research would also be lifted. The USCCB's pro-life committee chair, Archbishop Joseph Naumann, chastised President Biden for the move, stating, "The bodies of children killed by abortion deserve the same respect as that of any other person. Our government has no right to treat innocent abortion victims as a commodity that can be scavenged for body parts to be used in research." The Archbishop went on to say that the president's action was doubly unconscionable. Not only is it unethical to promote and subsidize research that can lead to legitimizing the violence of abortion, Naumann said, it is also deeply offensive to millions of Americans for our tax dollars to be used for research that collaborates with an industry built on the taking of innocent lives. Estimates of some $120 million are given for the yearly expenditure on scientific research that uses aborted baby body parts. Pro-life scientists and doctors note that there is no need to use aborted fetal organs and tissues in research because other moral alternatives are available. And in yet another aggressive move against the right of conscience, the Biden administration this past Tuesday sued to force doctors and hospitals to perform transgender surgeries. According to LifeSite News, a transgender mandate was promulgated in 2016, requiring doctors and hospitals to perform sex change operations on any patient, regardless of age, upon the referral of a mental health professional. Several religious organizations, 9 states, and an association of more than 19,000 healthcare professionals challenged the rule in 2 federal courts. The mandate was struck down in both cases, but now Catholic Secretary Javier Becerra of the Department of Health and Human Services Services has appealed the decisions. Becerra is known for having led another lawsuit against Religion and Conscience when, in 2017, he sued the Little Sisters of the Poor when they tried to defend their religious exemption to Obamacare's contraception mandate. And Planned Parenthood has just announced its official merger between two affiliates across six states. As of April 1st, Planned Parenthood's across the states of Alaska, Hawaii, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, and Washington will now be known as Planned Parenthood Great Northwest, Hawaii, Alaska, Indiana, Kentucky. The new organization serves the largest geographic area in the country and boasts of having 40 state-of-the-art health centers, 14 of which are located here in Indiana. According to a list of questions and answers on its website about the merger, the alliance was created because of what Planned Parenthood officials called the political attacks of anti-choice politicians that were having lasting effects upon its organization. Chief Operations Officer Rebecca Gibran called the combination of the Trump administration and the coronavirus pandemic one of the worst storms Planned Parenthood has had to weather, and the merger is viewed as an opportunity to get past the damage that was done. The CEO for the new organization, Chris Charbonneau, wrote how she is thrilled with the coalition and has promised great things to come from it, including stronger protections for reproductive rights in those states which currently have strong pro-life laws. Finally, no abortions were performed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Foot traffic on non-abortion days continues to be way down, and a call to the facility suggested that they are having staffing problems. Please keep praying for the conversion of all those who work and volunteer there, and that this abortion center will be permanently closed down. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, one of the most important and critical efforts to help end abortion is the campaign known as 40 Days for Life. It all started back in the year 2004 when a small group of pro-life advocates in College Station, Texas, grew frustrated with what seemed like the solid brick walls they were hitting up against in their attempts to end abortion in their community. They were disappointed with the apathy and indifference of many and with how very few people who called themselves pro-life were actually stepping forward to speak out and do something to help end abortion. They took their complaints to our Lord in prayer and fasting, and He answered them in a mighty way as only He can do. The result was the formation of an intense 40-day round-the-clock vigil outside of the local Planned Parenthood abortion center there in College Station. It was so successful and re-energized the local pro-life movement that the model spread throughout the country and is now even worldwide. Since 2007, over 18,000 unborn babies' lives have been saved from abortion that we know of. 109 abortion centers where these campaigns have been held have closed, and around 210 abortion industry workers have left the business. And that College Station Planned Parenthood abortion center, where some 6,400 unborn children were killed, is no more. In its place is the headquarters of 40 Days for Life. Well, God is most certainly at work in this ministry, and here to discuss the latest 40 Days for Life campaign is the Bloomington coordinator, Deacon Russ Woodard. Deacon Russ, welcome back to Pro-Life to the Max. It's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Monica.
Yeah, so how many campaigns have you led here in Bloomington now?
It's actually four now. I had to count up, but this is my fourth one we just got through.
So you're getting to be an old pro. Are you getting tired of it yet?
No, but you know, if somebody wanted to take it tomorrow, I'd let them have it.
There you go. So it's open to anyone listening if they want to sign up for the job. So, but what has been keeping you motivated to keep managing these local efforts?
Well, I guess first and foremost, we want to save lives as best we can, and I think 40 Days for Life is one way of doing that. It's one of the tools in our tool bag that we can use, and so that keeps me motivated. I really believe that it's a calling from God, and it just keeps me going, and it's just something I feel like I want to do. I want to end abortion where we live.
Yeah, very good. And you know what? And I can think of just the examples that we have in so many of the saints that have gone before us, and in particular, I'm thinking of St. Mother Theodore Guerin, who is one of the co-patrons of our archdiocese. And, you know, I think what she was up against, the impossible mission, it seemed, to evangelize the faith and build up the kingdom of God here on earth, and when it was just wilderness here in Indiana. I mean, and she had some incredible obstacles, some of them literally involving life and death, just in order to advance that Catholic faith here in Indiana. So I think she provides us, as do a lot of the saints, with this good role model, don't you think?
Oh, yes, very definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And I know we just got to wait on the Lord, too, because ultimately this is His work, and so we just have to persevere. So, now, I mentioned during the beginning of the program that over 500 unborn babies' lives have been saved that we know of during this past campaign. So, what other fruit did we see, either locally or elsewhere?
Well, we don't always see fruit. So, yeah, over 500 lives were saved. We don't know of any here in Bloomington that were saved. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean there weren't some. We saw women that pulled into Planned Parenthood and pulled right back out. So mm-hmm. were they there for an abortion and they decided at the last minute against it? We don't know. Mm-hmm. But we know of 500 for sure lives that were saved. And so God, you know, when we pray, God can take those prayers and work wonders wherever He feels like they need to be done. So we need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and you know, I like what Dr. Haywood Robinson said when he came to speak with us at that closing rally. He was talking about how everybody's prayers, it's a joint effort, right? And so the fruits that we see should just not be viewed as just local successes, but they're actually the result of everyone's prayers involved in these campaigns throughout the world. And I thought that's a good reminder, because God's going to use our prayers and sacrifices to not necessarily help someone right here in Bloomington, but perhaps for someone that's clear across the country or on the other side of the world, because He knows who's ready for these graces and who's ready to cooperate with them, and that's where He's going to use them. And of course, that's where we want Him to use it, right? So we shouldn't get discouraged if we don't see what we think is much fruit at the local level, he said.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So do you know of any workers, and not necessarily here in Bloomington, but any workers that have quit or abortion centers closed yet? Do we have that information yet, or is that kind of just still waiting to see?
I know there have been some workers, yes, that walked away during this past campaign.
Good, okay.
And they actually saw a couple of clinics close during this campaign.
Wow, good.
That, I think it's up to 211 now.
Oh, good.
Workers that have quit their jobs and walked away, so...
Okay, and we'll probably have more of that information, too, as they tally everything up and get all the reports and confirm everything.
Yeah, they're going to have a kind of a wrap-up webinar coming up next Tuesday. So that's open to anyone who wants to sign up. You can go to 40daysforlife.com and sign up for that webinar.
That's great and, information. So it's next Tuesday. What time?
I believe it's at 8 p.m.,
and they'll be discussing.
I don't have that in front of me.
Okay, that's okay. But they can go to 40daysforlife.com, and there'll be information about that webinar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think they'll send out another email here if they haven't already. They'll send one out reminding folks about that.
Okay, great, good. And then we'll get all that information there about the good fruit internationally, what took place this past campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So all of that being said, though, at the local level, I tell you what, I know. I personally, too, being out there pretty frequently during the week, I think we're starting to see some fruit, and I think we're seeing things that point to how the culture of death is slowly being torn down and replaced by a culture of life here. And specifically, I'm thinking of just the Women's Care Center right next door that's just doing some fabulous work. There are so many women going there initially for pregnancy tests and then being counseled afterwards to choose life. We see foot traffic way down. We see the Planned Parenthood closed unexpectedly on days with nobody showing up. They are opening late, closing early. sometimes hours early. The employee turnover rate is great. And we've even got some weeks that they're not even doing abortions. These things would have been unheard of just a few years ago when they were very busy. They would have never closed early. They would have never taken days off. So really, I think that there is some things going on. So can I get your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes, definitely. We saw, you know, an abortion day that ended at before 1 p.m. And so, yes, there were abortions that took place, but there could have been many, many more that day.
Yes.
But for whatever reason, you know, the abortionists left. We know that. So mm-hmm. I definitely think things are happening. You know, and I see this as a challenge to each of us. We need to keep the pressure on.
There you go. We cannot slack off, can we?
No, that's for sure. So, you know, I want to invite folks to come out, especially on Thursday's abortion days, mm-hmm. if they can come out for an hour and pray, or even if they can't do it for an hour, if they can come out for a half hour. Some people, you know, might come on their lunch hour or before they go to work or after they get off work or whatever.
Right, or you're out running errands. Drop by just for 15 minutes and pray. Make that little sacrifice.
Right.
And because those sacrifices, and I want everybody listening to know this, they do make a difference. We might think they're so little or they're nothing, but just taking that little bit of time, like, oh, I'm out running to the grocery store, I'm going to pop by and pray, even if it's not abortion day, any day, even if they're closed, drop by, pray, that public witness and that little sacrifice, I really believe it obtains many graces.
I agree. I have benefited so much from being there on days when they weren't open mm-hmm. because I end up having good conversations with folks that just happen to be passing by.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed. You know, some people have just come and said, hey, are you praying? And I'm like, yeah, can we pray with you?
That's
you
wonderful.
Know, and that's just great.
Yes, it is. Because also, this is about a change of hearts, too. And we've got to have conversations with people, including the passersby and the community. Because ultimately, this is just not about, you know, getting that place closed and ending abortion, which it is. We want that thing. But we want the change of heart. This is about the salvation of souls. And we want souls to grow closer to our Lord and to come to life.
That's for sure. Yeah. And I think just, you know, calling attention to the fact that abortions do take place there. One time when I was there during the 40 Days for Life campaign, somebody drove by and he said, they don't even do abortions there.
Yes.
And,
we hear
you know,
that.
People don't realize that, yes, they do abortions there.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
If they truly understood what abortion was, they might not support it.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of people probably are so indifferent, and they haven't really thought about it much, and they just don't think it through. And so our presence out there forces that conversation to take place, yeah, and points to that, yes, they are doing abortions there. So good. Now, Dr. Haywood Robinson stopped by here in Bloomington on Saturday evening, March 27th, the day before the last day of the 40 Days for Life campaign. So for those who weren't able to attend, what was his message?
It's a message of hope and redemption, most assuredly. If you don't know Dr. Haywood Robinson, he became a family doctor, but he was he got into the business of performing abortions out in California. He and his wife both, and through God's grace, he began to feel that what he was doing was wrong, and he ended up quitting, becoming a Christian, and both he and his wife have quit doing it, and their lives have been transformed, and he has just a wonderful story to tell, and it was wonderful. We had over 60 people out there mm-hmm. to hear his story, and it was just a wonderful evening. The weather was great. It was funny. Dr. Robinson noticed that how many people drove by and yelled something out the window.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Something like that. And he said, boy, you guys must be doing really good stuff here because you received persecution.
Yes. So, I thought it was very telling that he made that remark because he's been to a lot of places. And he's seen and heard a lot.
Thousands, probably.
Yeah. So he's seen and heard a lot. And so, yeah, we're really persecuted here in Bloomington for taking a stand for life. So I just thought that was very interesting. And I like the way he kind of phrased that in his, hey, we must be doing good work because, you know, what did our Lord say? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So we should take that as a badge of honor.
Right.
Yeah. And just kind of on that line, what's the best way to respond to this ill treatment, would you say?
Well, you know, you don't return with ill treatment. You mm-hmm. return with a blessing. Mm-hmm. And you ask God to, you know, open their hearts to the truth. So that's all we can do. Sometimes we just remain silent, you know, and, you know, what we don't say sometimes speaks louder than if we tried to say something, if we tried to rebut somebody. Mm-hmm. And most of these people are driving by so quickly, even if we did say something, they would never hear what it was we said.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I know. And there's probably just a lot of wounded souls out there too, right? Because they themselves might have been involved with abortion or they know a close family member or friend who has. So we have to kind of remember of the place where they're coming from. They're very hurt. And sometimes when you're hurt, you just lash out or you've never been shown how to love when you're hurting so much. So we can have compassion on those people, I think. And like you said, we can become very Christ-like and just try, you know, when we can, turn the other cheek and just pray for them. But okay, so but all that being said, too, we've had some more significant persecution, too. So when that happens, what do you suggest for people that where it does get a little more heated?
Well, there's always the option of, you know, either removing yourself from the situation or mm-hmm. if you feel threatened, call the police.
Yep.
You know, and that's, no one wants to hear that, but sometimes that's the reality that needs to happen, and mm-hmm. and the police mm-hmm. certainly can make more patrols by there if they need to do that, or if there's a particular person that's repeatedly doing things or threatening people, the police can hopefully talk with that person and try to de-escalate what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, too, always if we just feel too threatened, just get in your vehicle or leave and call the police. So those are good things to keep in mind if we're out there and we run into that situation, which unfortunately sometimes does happen. So okay, so as far as the local volunteer turnout for this campaign, what did you think? Are we getting enough volunteers or, you know, what's your perspective?
I don't think we ever have enough volunteers. we have some really dedicated individuals who spend countless hours out there. Mm-hmm. I was kind of looking at some of the hours, number of hours that people have spent out there. But then, you know, I think we had maybe a total of 175 people that signed up for at least 1 hour.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. But, you know, International 40 Days for Life tells us it takes about 400 people to totally fill the schedule.
Wow.
And so there were times when there was only one person out there, and that's just not safe.
Right.
We need to really try to have at least two people out there, and the more the better, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, I notice on Thursdays when the rosary is going on, people will slow down more and take note when they see a dozen people gathered around and praying together.
That's right. It makes a much greater statement rather than if it's just that same person out there, they'll just shrug it off. Well, there's that nut again, right? And they just think it's just this anomaly, that one person. Whereas if it's a group of people and this is constant and there's a lot of them, they're going to think twice and they're think, what? Maybe there's something to this because there's a lot of people out here.
Yeah, yeah. And I understand with the coronavirus, you know, there are some people that normally would have been out there that just mm-hmm. didn't feel safe because maybe they have some underlying health issues or something like that. Mm-hmm. But hopefully by the time we get into the fall campaign, hopefully... coronavirus will be a thing of the past. We're pretty close to it.
Hopefully so, yeah. Well, one of the other kind of weapons, spiritual weapons we had in our arsenal was that we had one night where we did do an overnight prayer vigil starting from 8 p.m. on Thursday evenings into Friday morning at 8 a.m. And we did that on that day because that's abortion day. And you know what? I just always think this adds some extra special graces because of the extra special sacrifice of giving up sleep. And you know, I'm always amazed by the campaigns that actually do these overnight vigils for all 40 consecutive days. I'm really in awe of that. So, and I think it helps also significantly in making reparation for the killing of the unborn. And, you know, I think specifically of 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16, when it says how David inquired of God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground. He did that for his son. And I think these men can kind of be said the same way, where they're doing that for the child. And of course, you know, we've got other instances in the Bible where our Lord went off to a mountain to pray and spent the whole night in prayer, Luke chapter 6. And the Psalms, you know, I meditate on you in the night watches. So we've got this whole idea of praying and keeping watch by night through intercessory prayer is firmly grounded in scripture and tradition. So I think we conclude that it's a necessary component to helping build up a culture of life. So I think this is just, like I said, a great component to our local campaign. So again, get your thoughts on that, Deacon Russ.
Yes, most definitely. I'm very appreciative of the mostly men who do the overnight shifts, which we try to have at least two men out there at each time for safety's sake. And it's just, yeah, you're right. Anything that we do that is inconvenient to us, that helps us to remember that we're doing this for the Lord, and I think we'll see great benefit from that.
Yeah, and I think that overnight vigil is bearing some fruit. I think I'm just very thankful to the men that step up and the others to do that. So, yeah. Now, okay, we're getting close to running out of time. It always goes so quickly, but I think we talked a little bit about the our constant presence out there during these 40 consecutive days and how it sends such a powerful message to the community about the tragic reality of abortion. So do you have anything more to add to that? What is that like when you think for the community, when they see people out there for 40 consecutive days praying?
I think it's just a tremendous a visual that people see. You know, it's interesting, you know, you see some of the same vehicles go by every day, and they have to know that we're out there. You know, the buses, the city buses, other contractors, you see their trucks, and it's the same ones going by, you know, several times a day, and I'm sure they're seeing different people out there, and they're just, you know, I'm sure pondering in their mind, what is it that makes these people so dedicated to coming out here? And 40 Days for Life International, you know, tells us that when the weather's bad, when it's snowing, when it's raining, people even take more notice, and more babies' lives are saved during bad weather than during pleasant weather.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Very good. So we're just about out of time here. When's the next campaign? Do you know that yet?
I do know that.
Oh, good. When is it?
It starts the fourth Wednesday in September, so September 22nd.
Okay.
Through October 31st. We actually end on Halloween.
Okay.
Everybody mark their calendars. But like I said, feel free to come out anytime between now and then and pray. You know, whether Planned Parenthood is open or closed, it matters not. Your prayers will still be efficacious.
Very good. Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Parish in Edinburgh, thank you so much for your superb leadership in these campaigns. And I know it takes a lot of effort to organize and run these crusades, and we're just so grateful for your willingness to take this on. And we just ask God to reward you abundantly for all of your sacrifices and efforts and for everything that you do to build up the Catholic faith and a culture of life for the glory of God and the salvation of souls.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Monica.
Okay, well, be sure to check out 40daysforlife.com to read and hear more about how these campaigns are helping to save lives and souls. There are podcasts and videos available there that will inspire you and give you hope as you continue to work and pray for an end to abortion. I hope to see you sometime out there on Thursday. So right now, thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.